Oh, okay, it's not. I think there's one there. Drawing the weight of the pole, I can feel it.
Okay.
Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, the son of God, nor executed thou fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel unto the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy son be with the Lord.
Be with me.
Deliver the speech. Yeah, be with me. I've heard preached numerous times of Saul and Rob. That doesn't sound like that.
That doesn't, does it?
If he's lost, then that wasn't the third one.
The third one.
It must have been prayer. Yeah, but that's not me. That's all. Thank God that he played that song. I realize that that's not the truth. But Saul, this is Paul talking to this, because today thou shalt be with me. Thou and I shall be with me.
He wants to know if he's in Abraham's bosom, that where Saul's from. Well, that's the question he's asking, though.
I agree with what you said. That's not what I was thinking.
They went to the same place, essentially. They what? No, they weren't, but they talked back and forth. There was a gulf there, but... He wants to start a fight, amen. That's what he meant. That was a good one, brother. Yes, I've heard before that Saul was lost because the Spirit of the Lord left him, but I don't know if the Spirit of the Lord ever had to be on a Jewish person to be saved. Understand? As the Holy Spirit may have came on to use them and stuff like that, but they didn't have a spirit like we have it. The five will just continue on. Well, and I saved or lost, I don't know, brother. I believe it is. I believe it's him, for sure. I don't know how anything this could be, but you know what? There's so many spiritual things go on that, brother, they go on. We don't know if that's just good or close our eyes to them, because we'd be scared out of our mind. Like that one woman, where am I? I'm in Amos. I'm going to have to get going here. One woman was in New Guinea, and she said that she was in this house, and these Indians or whatever, they're coming searching everything. And she was safe all that time. And much later, she found out that these people, I'm trying to think of what their names are. They're a tribe there in New Guinea. She talked to one guy that had come into her house, and the guy said that he saw men in white stand in front of her door, stuff like that, protecting her. So a lot of things go on, whether they're spiritual, but boy, unnerved me. You know, Brother Mullins was telling about, were you here Wednesday? You remember Brother Mullins telling about the stick, they put the stick and then the stick start moving? We went out to eat and I said, did that really happen? He says, yes, it starts moving like that. He said he was even going to try to film it. And for some reason he didn't film it. I don't know. But I tell you what, boy, that is unnerving. Well, there's some things going on spiritual that we don't know about. We just don't have the spiritual senses. Pardon? Yeah, that's right. And then they saw. Right. Yeah, amen. Well, now we got all them problems solved, amen. We can go on. Like solving problems today, amen. We must have ended on what, chapter 5. Have you offered, verse 25, have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? No, they didn't do it. But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion. Chion is the only place it's mentioned on Whereof. Your image is the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. So the Jewish people still have that star today, amen? I don't know how it came down in antiquity, but they still got this star, and they're hanging on to that joker. Instead of call it the Star of Remphan, they call it Star of David. And that's Moloch. In Leviticus 18:21, this Moloch is a false god, and he was a problem for the Jews. To worship this deity demanded that children be offered to it. 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 3 through 4, and 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27. Yes, sir. 2 Kings 16, verses 3 through 4, and 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27. I mean, that guy is demanding an awful high price, amen? But for worshiping this false deity was the death penalty. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 2 through 8. The person who did it, worshiped this false idol, they got it. The people who saw him worship this false idol and ignored his actions by not killing him, they get killed. And worshiping Moloch is likened to whoredoms. And it's connected with familiar spirits and wizards. Palm reading, tarot cards, all that stuff. There's a lot. There's a lot of things that are real evil that go on. A minute. To make that stick move back and forth all by itself, boy, I tell you what. Something's going on. That would give me the willies, you know that? For that man to be there in a country where that stuff goes on and be able to operate and start churches shows the great power of God, though. All this other stuff, moving sticks, nothing compared to changing people's lives and turning them around. I mean, it's a real miracle what he's done. That's what every missionary has the opportunity to do, change people's lives. Solomon built a high place for this false god of the children of Ammon. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 7. Verses 5 and 33, and 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 13. Now this Moloch is connected with Baal worship, Jeremiah 32:35. You always see Baal worship come up in the Bible, and now you know this guy's connected with it. High places of Baal were built in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and there they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to Moloch. And this is something God never commanded the Jewish people to do. And then in Acts chapter 7, verse 4 to 3, it showed that they had a tabernacle in the wilderness for Moloch. When the Jews were wandering in the wilderness, they weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping Moloch. Verse 27, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. So when they went into captivity, they went into Babylon. Then in Acts chapter 7, talking about second captivity, and referring to it indirectly, they were supposed to go beyond Babylon. And they went beyond Babylon. They went throughout the whole world. Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. That word woe means, it's used as a denunciation. And it means grief and sorrow and misery. So grief and sorrow and misery are going to come upon people that are at ease in Zion. And trust in the mountain of Samaria. They're trusting in something else that's not of God. Which are named, excuse me, chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. So, excuse me. So the house of Israel came to these people. Whoever the mountain of Samaria is, whether it's Assyria or Syria, I don't know. No, it can't be Assyria or Syria. It has to be, it must be the high places of Baal they're worshiping in Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, that's north Syria. So that's way up there by Turkey. Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath. That's again up northern Syria. The great. Then go down to Gath. That is at the bottom of Israel toward the left by the coast of the Mediterranean near Gaza, evidently. Down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms? Or their border greater than your border? He's trying to make a comparison. Say, hey, look, go to the north, go to the south. Search out and find out whether any of these people are better than you. Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near. These are the people that are ease in Zion. They're trusting in the mountains of Samaria, evidently the high places to help them. And whatever they're doing, they put away the evil day. And that's the way Americans are. The day of judgment's come for this country. People get mortgages on houses, mortgages on cars, they get themselves up to their neck in debt, and they have so many responsibilities that they're never going to be able to take care of them all, and they just keep putting it off. You want to pay so many bills, you put it off, or you get going to bankruptcy. Amen? And you're just putting off the inevitable. So whatever these people are doing, they're putting off the inevitable. Ye that put off, that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Well, verse 4 shows that these people, whoever they are, they're ease in Zion, and they're real rich, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves in instruments of music like David. And that's what rich people do, amen? Take it easy, enjoy food, and then they sit around and dream up songs and lyrics and melodies. These guys are just like you see in the movies, the Romans, the palatial type, plush atmosphere that they had. Here, doesn't everybody want to create an atmosphere in their home like that, amen? We all have the same tendency. That drink wine and bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. they're not grieved that their country is in idolatry, worshiping false gods, and things like that. They don't care about that stuff. All they know is they're getting by and everything's going well for them. That's like us today. Gentlemen, this country really is going to hell. It is going there swiftly. And there doesn't seem to be anything we can do to make a dent in this thing, to turn it around. I mean, it's gone. All the abortions and the drugs and the teaching of this evolution, things like this, humanism in schools, wicked things come in the house through the TV and newspaper, radio, magazines. Just unbelievable. I get some little paper. I can't think of the name of it. But it's by this Widman guy, guy that monitors all things on programs on TV and stuff like that, and then writes down the sponsors. He sponsors bad programs. And I'll tell you what, read some of the stuff that goes on TV programs. Unbelievable. Me, I've had TV for about 10 years. And I'm really far removed from that stuff, and I'm glad I did get removed from it. But to just to hear all the things that are going on, it's unbelievable. The stripping from the waist down, I mean, it's on regular TV. Both of them, you know. And I mean, it's just real hairy to me, brother, to be able to have that stuff come in your home. Because once that gets in little kids' minds, ain't nothing going to get that joker out, boy. Because they're going to be excited to find out what's going on here, what's all this stuff about. And they're going to grow up too quick, too quick. I tell you what, getting rid of the TV is the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. I mean, we didn't have kids or anything. But we got rid of it about the first time that one pope died. And then another pope took over and died about 2 or 3 months later. Remember that? That's when we got rid of our TV. I'm glad we didn't have to watch all that junk go on about. I mean, I heard, you know, it was on TV for 3 days straight, the funeral and all this other stuff, and you all see all these monkeys and the red caps on marching and setting on, I mean, puke stuff. I mean, real bad stuff, you know? So I'm glad we got rid of it. One guy just, a guy in church, he came in, he said, "We ain't gonna get rid of that TV." I said, "You're right, I'm gonna get rid of it." And he carried it out of the room, and that's the last, generally, we messed with the TV. And then somebody said something, so we got rid of it. So I tell you, you got TV, get rid of it, amen? Junk that piece of trash, amen? Get rid of it now, amen? Yeah, get a computer mine, that'd be better. Yeah, no kidding. I don't know how we got on that, but let's go on. Amen. "Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed." And then they do go captive. 2 Kings 17, I think. They go captive first. "The Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces." Now, the second time he's talking about hating here. He says the other one in 5:21. So you know God's not real happy with what these people are doing. Once you can make God hate you, you're in trouble, you know? Once you get to the point where you've worn down his graciousness, mercy, and long-suffering, brother, you went beyond the call of duty. There's no doubt about that. "Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then shall he say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord." Now, why that's in there, I don't know. Why they're not going to be able to make mention of the name of the Lord, or why they'd even want to, I don't know. "For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts." Clefts are divide, something's divided or split. "Shall horses run upon the rock, Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Hemlock is poison. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? Evidently, it's implying that they've taken some power in their own hands. But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hemath under the river of the wilderness. 1 Chronicles 13:5 talks about Hemath. So he's talking about a nation that eventually does come against them and afflict them, not only afflicts them, but they take them away completely. And as far as I know, they transplant other people into their land, don't they? 2 Kings 17. The king of Assyria besieged it, Samaria 3 years, took it, carried Israel away into Assyria. It's in 24. Yeah, and then the men of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and place them in the cities of Samaria. That's right. Thank you, brother. So they got more than they bargained for when they start worshiping false idols. Does anybody have an idea why in verse 10 they say we may not make mention of the name of the Lord? No ideas? I have no idea either. Chapter 7. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. So it looks like he's getting an idea, a picture here of some things that the Lord's planning to do to the Jews here. Now, the first one looks like a plague of grasshoppers. They're going to come and eat up all the grass. And Amos sees this and says, O Lord, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. Then the Lord repents, said, okay, I won't do that. Next, verse 4. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. So, plague was abated by this man, and now he saw visions of how this fire was going to consume things, and he made intercession, and God said, okay, I won't do that. I don't know, brother. I know the deep could be water in a, like the pigs ran out into the deep that got killed, and there is the deep that's above us. You know, so, brother, I don't know. Verse 7, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. So evidently the first two things were passes. They got by, amen? He said, I'm going to do this now, and it's not going to go away. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Well, a plumb line is a line perpendicular to the plane of the horizon. Oh, man, isn't that great? Brother, you're a carpenter, right? Tell me what a plumb line is. How do you attach it to the ceiling or something? Well, he's standing on the wall, and the wall has been made by a plumb line. Evidently, it's pretty straight. Amen? Well, evidently, the only thing I figure out is this line's at the bottom of Samaria, because Judah's not going to be taken. And he lets those people come down to that line right there, take away the Jews in the northern part. That's the only thing I can figure is it's because he doesn't let the southern tribe be taken. It's like 2 Kings 21. We'll go to verse 12. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Yes, sir, go ahead. What's the line that's stretched out? Is that, I mean, like you're laying bricks, and you lay a line out, what's that called? It's not. Yeah, amen, bro, amen. That'd be me. I wouldn't even know what I was doing. Pardon? Perpendicular. The only thing I can get out of this, he's got some line set there, and down to that line, it's going to be bad times. Holding it through. Oh, amen, gentlemen. You guys know more about this, could do something with this. Well, if you know if it had been me, I would have said, well, sort of a measurement, but it can't be like that. You're probably right. Verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Now remember, Bethel is an idolatrous place. Now they got a priest there of Bethel. 2 Kings chapter 10, 29. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. Talks about what Bethel is. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Now wherever Amos is telling all this stuff, he's telling the ears somebody can hear him. Or somehow they're finding out what's against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. I mean, now he's conspiring against the king, amen? He makes a bad deal for the king, for Amos right off the bat. In the house of Israel, the land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Now, I can see in verse 9 where it says, I will raise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. I mean, I can see that he's going to get killed there. But how they got the other things about they're going to be led into captivity, he must have read it into what was being said in relation to the things I couldn't explain adequately. He must know some things about the Bible I don't know, but like this plumb line. I mean, by inference, we see that that line's going to be people carried away like it was in 2 Kings 21:13, or being their position being overrun. So it's in the context there someplace, although I haven't done a good job of explaining it. Then Amaziah the priest, excuse me, verse 12. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. He said, amen. Go tell that stuff to somebody else. Boy, we don't want to hear that stuff. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is a king's chapel, and it is the king's court. A chapel is a house of worship belonging to a private person. Like you could make your garage into a chapel, amen? And you could just go in there and do whatever it is you want to do, and you could be the chaplain. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of the sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. So he's saying, hey, look, I didn't want this job, guys. Wasn't something I, you know, volunteered for. I'm just here because the Lord wanted me to do this. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Uh-oh. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot. Well, that's a pretty stiff penalty for going against God, you know it? His wife turns into a harlot in the city. And thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. And this is the same way it is for everybody. Once you start denying things in the Bible, turn your back on them, going against them, your family life is going to go, amen? There's no way that that can hold up. It's in a tenuous position right now because today, gentlemen, you have such free availability of almost anything you want, amen? I mean, you can get divorced and go out with 80 million people if you want to. I mean, you can do that, amen? You can go out and get a date anytime you want to. There's no stipulations today. Married men go out. Married women go out. There's fornication. They live together. They go to parties together where they trade off partners. I mean, there's all kinds of a mix and match today that, gentlemen, for marriage to stay together today, it's just a miracle of God. Because there's always somebody around that will be interested in taking your wife, or you may be interested in taking somebody else's wife or some other girl and things like that. Gentlemen, the temptations are so prevalent today, it's unbelievable. Like somebody said, you go along, you can't get away. They're on billboards, they're in catalog. Anything can attract your attention to the opposite sex. And women have the same problem men do because they see things in men that are desirable. And our society promotes that stuff, and it just becomes a real killer on a person's spiritual life. So for a family to stay together today, it's a real miracle of God. It's working in somebody's life. But once you turn your back, it'd be real easy for your family to go, just like it went for this man here. He got a little bit too high on his horse, amen? Started cutting back on a real man of God. This guy was just play-acting. He was pretending like he was a priest. I mean, you know, that'd be about like Catholic priests coming here to tell you what to do. Hey, man, what are you doing, Batman? That don't work. So this man really suffered a lot for opening his mouth. He'd been better off to be quiet. Chapter 8. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. Excuse me. So God's really showing this man a lot of things. And behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. He said that back in verse 8 of chapter 7. And the songs of the temple shall be howling in that day. So these people had temples up there. They had a chapel, they had temples, they had houses of worship. Saith the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. So he's telling them, when these Assyrians came in and took over in 2 Samuel 17, there was a fight, amen? These guys didn't give up easy, and it was a bloody mess. A lot of people got taken away here. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. So remember, we're talking about in chapter 7, no, 6:4, he's talking about rich people. Now, I've told you before, I got this study on poor folks, and but I tell you what, poor folks have a rough time. The rich oppress the poor people, and that's what he's mad about right here. These rich people have oppressed the poor, drained them of everything that they could ever have. Tim, I tell you what, for a person to get by a day, poor, bad news. Have to pay taxes and then pay all the high prices everybody else has to pay too. It is rough. There is no doubt about it. And a lot of this stuff is conspiracy against poor people. They just run them people in the ground. And they want to run them in the ground. Saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? So he's saying, hey, all these guys are thinking about is business as usual. Business is good. We're going to go out today and make a big sale. We're going to make small the ephah, though. We're going to just cut back on a couple handful of corn we're putting in there. And then we're going to, you know, try to get as much money out of this as we can get out of it. These people were crooked and crooks. Look, if you're involved with idolatry, what can you be? Can you be an honest, upright citizen? No, there's no way you can be that. There's no way you can be that. No way you can fall down and worship an idol and then be an honest person, because you're denying the direct commandment of God about not worshiping idols. So if your life's sunk there, you know you're in trouble. You got other aspects of your life that aren't going to pan out. So these people are idolaters, they're rich, and they go against the poor people, and they're cheaters. And what else they want to do? That we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the weak. Hey, yeah, you want other people to work for you, amen? You can buy people. You can have them work for you and create money for you and make life easier for you. That's what rich people do. They just get them servants and let the servants take care of them. The Lord has sworn, and sell the refuse of wheat. I mean, evidently they get the bad part of the wheat. What could be the refuse? The chaff? What would people do with the chaff? Can't eat, can you? I don't know, gentlemen, I don't know. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Remember when the king, I think it was Rehoboam, or was it Jeroboam? The first Jeroboam. Must have been the first Jeroboam. Rehoboam was Solomon's son, right? When Rehoboam took those people away, said, and started that kingdom in the northern Israel, he had all intentions of making everything nice for those people so they can enjoy good comfort. And then he got the wise idea that, hey, if I let those people go down to those feasts and, you know, get some type of relationship with a real God, pretty soon they're not going to be following me, and they're going to go follow Rehoboam. So what he did, he made these false gods. And when he made these false gods and encouraged these people to indulge in idolatry, then what he did, he set in motion the destruction of his country, the part that he ruled. And he set these people up for the kill when he did that. I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's what is happening. You're looking at the end result of what happened way back then, when that kingdom was split. And it shall rise up holy as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as a flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Well, I don't know. That has a reference to the future, you know, in relation to what's going to happen in the tribulation. But he must have done that for them then, at that time too. And I will turn your feasts in the morning, and all your songs into lamentations. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I bet they would want some comfort from the real God once these things start to take place in their life. Look, when you yourself go through problems, what do? You turn to the Bible for some type of recourse and consolation and comfort. You try to think of those passages that you know are there available to help you. But gentlemen, when these people ended their life in the land of Israel, they wanted something from the real God, but because of idolatry and the way they had separated themselves from the true God, there was no place for them to go. And they wandered from sea to sea and from north even into the east. You know what? They didn't go down south. They went north to east. Down south is where the real Word of God was, where they could have found out something about the Word of God. But once you get going along so far in sin, something you may know logically any other time is not going to make sense once you're under the condemnation of sin and the judgment for sin. You're just going to be out there on a limb without no help at all. And that's what happened to these people. Spiritually, they were left out. They wanted some type of solace and consolation. And maybe they did think about the real God. But the judgment was upon them. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. And they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth. That means talking about these false gods again. And the manor of Beersheba liveth. That Beersheba is where they had high places and the priests burnt incense and things like that up there. Even they shall fall and never rise again. So all this is coming upon these people because they are idolaters. Any questions? We'll end there for today. We ended at the last verse in chapter 8, verse 14. Yes, sir. Free gentlemen.